it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
ESPN's finest, former Ravens quarterback, somebody who is electric in front of the microphone. Cannot wait to have him in. It's been a minute. Last time he actually came in, he was on a plane the day of the AFC Championship game. We bring him in. We weren't on live yet, though, but he literally was on the tarmac, and we just couldn't make it work. So months later, let's bring in Robert Griffin III. Right now, RG3.
Hey,
how are you, dude?
What's up, brother? I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Great. This is my buddy Cole Jackson. RG3.
What's up, Cole? How you doing,
Cole? Brother? How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice beard, man. I can't grow a beard, so I gotta show love.
I've had this bad boy since I was 12 years old, so I've been perfecting for a while.
Hey, Cole, tell him your NFL comp.
Okay, so when I'm on stream, everyone, and I feel bad because, like, I feel like it's an insult to him, but everybody always says, "What's Mark Andrews doing here?"
Oh my goodness! Now that you said it, I can't unsee it.
I feel bad though, because, like, I've talked to him a few times in my DMs, and I'm like, dude, I feel like it's such an insult to you.
Hold on, wait, look, it's Mark Andrews.
Oh my god.
So, hey, RG, is this the behind the scenes of where a lot of these TikTok videos go down between you and the missus?
Yes, it is. I try to tell people she's the funniest person I know. So we have a good time. We like to have fun. And if you love it, awesome. If you don't love it, oh, well, man, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep having a blast. So, no, it's life is great. And I'm kind of chilling right now because I don't know if you guys noticed I, like, break down all the picks as they come out, you know, just like it takes a lot of work through this draft process. So when you don't get the opportunities to say a lot of it on air, I just like to make sure I still share it with the fans. So I'm chilling for a little bit because as the picks get later into the draft, you know, they happen a lot faster. It's harder to keep up. But it's just been a blast.
Well, I really appreciate you carving out some time and you jump whenever you can. If you have a few minutes, I mean, they're going to pick at 93. The Ravens are, so we might have a chance for an instant reaction from you, but okay so they get their offensive lineman who a lot of people believe is going to be that day one starting right tackle for Lamar. He's used to that type of runner with Penix in Washington. And then yesterday, of course, they stay put, they stay patient, and they get just an athletic freak at corner in Nate Wiggins. So how do you assess day one and day two thus far?
Nah, day one I thought was phenomenal. You already mentioned it. I actually had a chance to call a Nate Wiggins game when they played against North Carolina and Drake May. So, you know, I'm walking up to the booth. Every couple of steps I take, I see 17 different NFL scouts because everyone wanted to see Drake May play and they all wanted to see Nate Wiggins cover. And when I was watching the game, like the build up to the game, it was maybe a game before that or two games before that. A team tried Nate Wiggins early in the game on a deep post route. And he was kind of asleep, you know, like, you know, you get out there, you haven't really ran yet, your hamstrings aren't warm. Yeah. And they just tried him on like a 60-yard bomb. Yeah. And in my tweet yesterday, I said he has catch-up speed that reminds you of Deion Sanders. So as I was watching that, he was no lie, guys, like 5 yards behind. And he ate up the cushion quickly to get to the ball, and it was overthrown. But I saw that glimpse right there. So, hey, what's up, kiddo? What's up? Yeah, little baby Dia. So then when we got to this North Carolina game, I was really interested to see how he would match up against Tez Walker, how he would match up against a quarterback and Drake May, who went third overall. Yep. And I was blown away. A lot of people were pointing at the North Carolina State game for Drake May. You could honestly say that Clemson game, with the way that they covered and how well Nate Wiggins played, was his worst game. So Wiggins is, I know everybody likes to talk about the frame and how slender he is, but he's sticky in coverage, has great ball skills, and has an attitude. And you all know that that's what playing like a Raven is all about. So he's going to help early. And as Marlon, our guy Marlo, gets older, not that he's old. He's not old. He's not old, okay? But as he gets older, you're going to need one of those young bucks to be able to come in and cover those wide receiver ones, or at least shut down wide receiver two. I saw it with Jimmy there when Marlon came in. Obviously, I wasn't there when Marlon first came in, but I got to see those two guys play at the same time, and it was the same thing. As Jimmy got older, he was still a shutdown corner, and he could still do his job, but it was time for Marlon to take over and start covering those wide receiver ones.
Cole, get in here.
Yeah, no, I think the interesting thing about that UNC game is he was getting the speed test from Dontez Walker, too, so that's really that's a big test, right? You're talking about a first-round caliber quarterback and a third-round caliber wide receiver known for deep speed, and it really put it on display. It's his recovery speed is shocking to me, and I mean, you could see it go back to his Boston College game from 2 years ago against Zay. The biggest thing I noticed with him in that game was his confidence. Zay Flowers running out, and maybe this is a little bit about Boston College's quarterback at the time, but you know, he just didn't seem intimidated by Zay and his speed, and you know, that's what tells me he has that confidence in his deep speed where he can be very sticky at kind of the stem of the route, right? So he can play up a little bit more knowing that I can recover. And that's what's really separates those guys, because you're not forced into playing trail technique. You're not forced into, you know, having to give large cushions and then getting beat underneath or beat in the middle of the field. So it just lends itself really well to what I think the Ravens are going to ask him to do.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there. It's one of those deals of, because he has the makeup speed, the next concern would be, all right, is he gonna fall asleep at times when he's in the NFL because he has that makeup speed? I didn't see that, because as the competition got better, as he was playing, he always, you know, rose to the occasion. It'll just be more of like, hey, man, they might try you on the first play of the game. Just be ready. And then the other thing with Tez Walker is, Tez is a speed guy, but he's not like a small receiver, you know? Mm-hmm. So with Wiggins, if you're concerned about his build, just understand that when he did play against bigger receivers, he was never thrown around. Like,
he's not scared. He's physical.
He's not scared. So I thought it was, I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, yep, DaCosta didn't got him another one.
Yeah. and his frame looks like he can add muscle to it, right? Like, you can 100%. Get stronger, but I don't want to have to make a guy tougher.
Exactly. Right? Oh, there you go. See, look, Cole's on it, man. You can't make him tougher. You can get him stronger, but you can't change what's in here, you know?
Hey, RG, he might look like Mark Andrews, but he's an offensive line guru from Canada. Okay. Who I lean on for a bunch of content, but he's the offensive line Canadian guru. That's what I refer to him as.
Oh wow, so. Okay, that's a big compliment. Now, so Cole, give me your breakdown on the offensive line. Like, we know that they need protection for Lamar, and they're rebuilding it obviously through this draft and in the offseason. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the biggest.
Are you hijacking this interview? Is that what's going on here?
I think the biggest shift we saw, and I mean, you'll know this well, playing under Greg Roman as the quarterback, the biggest shift we saw going to a Todd Monken scheme last year was the amount of five-man protections that he was going to call, and the amount of time that Roman had no issue giving help to a tackle. And there was times where I'm just like, can we help the tackles out a little bit here? Like, we're struggling. And that just doesn't seem to be in Todd Monken's DNA. He wants to get four or five-man, you know, route packages out there, and it makes sense for how he wants to kind of run his offense. So I think when you look at what Rosengarten can bring to the table, played in that same type of framework at Washington where he could, you know, get out, be athletic in pass protection, and you know, be able to do that more five-man protect. He also looks like he's a better fit for his own scheme, which is what we kind of saw with the transition when Keaton Mitchell came in, and Derrick Henry's thrived in that scheme as well. So I think, you know, those were kind of my two check boxes with offensive linemen. I want more athletic guys, guys that can pass protect, guys that have quick feet that can recover, refit. I think he's got to, you know, clean up his hands a little bit, but especially when he's refitting his hands, not necessarily his initial punch, but you know, he just seems to fit a lot of what they want out of Todd Monken. So I love the fit.
Yeah, I think that's great expertise breakdown there of the offensive line. My experience with Rosengarten came from calling two Washington games. Blake Corum just got drafted. Yeah. Is that to the Rams?
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. He goes to. Wait, no. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, no. Yeah. Rams. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say if it was the Chargers, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. It wouldn't make complete sense. They did go to the Michigan pipeline, though, a little bit earlier on with Colson.
With Colson. Yeah, they did. But yeah. Now, Corum. I was literally, I'll get back to Rosengarten, but I was just talking about Corum to my wife, and it's you see these players in college that were like phenomenal players, right? Calling cards for the university, calling cards for their offense, and they drop in the draft, and everybody's like, oh, he's not very good. And it's like, that's not true. Teams are drafting based off need and where they value the position, basically. So Blake Corum was one of the best players in college football last year.
Right.
So just because he falls in the third round doesn't mean he's now not a good player. If anything, he's going to get to free agency faster, and he's going to have an opportunity to make a huge impact there for a Super Bowl winning coach in Sean McVay. So,
hey, Pittsburgh's pick is in. Not to interject, RG, but they're going with Roman Wilson.
So okay.
Pittsburgh's having a hell of a draft.
Yeah, they are.
They do every year.
And Cincinnati too. I mean. They got a mauler in Mims. I saw him and saw your former teammate there, Robert Orlando Brown, welcoming Amarius to Cincy. A couple big bodies there.
And Trent Brown's there.
There's a lot of man need going on that hug.
That's what I'm saying. For sure. Hey, I know you want to get back to Rosengarten, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this week's discussion in Ravens land. And I know you spent a lot of time with him, and you were reacting to it when the news of his extension came out, but Bate is going to be in Baltimore through 2026.
Yep.
I think like a lot of wide receivers are just in today's world, or just it's the nature of the game. He's a polarizing figure within the fan base. Now, some of that he's buried himself with some of the digital antics online with going after DaCosta and everything from a year ago. But what I guess the question is, how much of a Bait believer are you? And I know you're not biased in this because you've already put your take online, but for those who haven't seen it, where are you at with Bait entering year four, a crucial one for him?
No, I mean, I am a Bait fan, and I think the guys, like, I know Lamar trusts him. I've seen him in practice be unguardable. It's more for him about staying healthy. And I think he could be a top 15, top 20 receiver in this league if he stays healthy. And that's not – and that it's not an overreaction. It's not just, hey, I was a Raven, so I'm just supporting the Ravens. It's like you know what it takes as a wide receiver to separate consistently, to catch the ball, and be an asset to the quarterback. Lamar swears by Bait. So I actually think it was a very smart decision by EDC to extend him now instead of giving him an opportunity to go catch 70 balls and have 1,300 receiving yards in year two of this offense. And now you got to pay him like double, maybe even triple whatever you paid him. I don't know what his actual numbers were, but I thought it was a smart decision to do it now because I think they're going to feature him. It'll be Zay, obviously Bait, whoever they draft, and then the tight end gang. I think it was a smart decision because I don't understand why teams don't do this more. Pay the guy early, right? Pay him early so you don't have to pay him $25, $30 million down the line when you throw him the football 150 times. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm all for guys making as much money as they can, but as a team, when you're building a roster, if you know this guy's going to be super important to your team, just pay him now. But pay him when you can so you don't have to break the bank later.
Well, Philly just did that yesterday for sure, right before the – like, they got the draft frenzy going by paying, what was it, 32 APY to AJ? So
– where are they finding this money at, man? Woo. I'm like, they paid Devontae Smith 25, and then AJ was like, yeah, fam, I need some more. They gave him some more. Like, right? That's crazy. Right.
Hey, you mentioned one thing, though, about Bate and Lamar. right? And yep. There's a trust level.
Yeah.
Can you see why, though, some of us are saying, like, from what we've seen, right, and we don't have that perspective of what you've watched time and time again, countless reps behind closed doors, but what's it going to take for that to actually translate on field? Because we've seen flashes of it, but yep. not consistent extended periods of those.
Yeah, I think one is the health, of course, like being available. Listen, you're talking to a guy and myself who, you know, I was hurt at times, and that hurt my development as a quarterback. So for Bate, he's just got to stay on the field, stay healthy, and be able to play. I can understand where the fans are. Listen, sometimes when they say where there's smoke, there's fire. This isn't a case of, like, the guy can't play. He can play, and he can play at a high level. And I think, like, that's what I'm hearing from the building. You know, Lamar talking about Bate, like, they really believe that he's going to be able to take that next step and be that wide receiver. It's huge praise here, but Lamar played in the Pro Bowl a couple years back, and he had a chance to be teammates with Keenan Allen. Okay, so when I think of Rashad Bateman and his ability and his route running and how he can get open, that's what he's striving to be. And I know that that's what they believe he can be, that type of player. Now, like I said, Keenan's been doing it for a long time, and he did it from the first year he was in the league. So it's huge praise, but it's that type of, like, Zay is the quick, we're going to get the ball in his hands, let him go do his thing. He can also line up out wide and take the top off the defense. Bates, the guy that they need to be their chain mover, but he also has the big play ability, right? We've seen him take, you know, 7 yards slant, 60 yards to the house. So I'm a believer in what he can do. I know the team is a believer in what he can do. And now it's just a matter of, if they're going to throw the ball 30, 35 times a game, he needs to be getting 7, 8 of those targets. And that's how you maximize him.
So not just lip service, essentially, then, because, like, you can see why a portion of the fan base these last couple weeks, when EDC and Harbs are going out of their way, right, to be, like, gassing him up and in the media, and, like, he's our guy, and he and Zay, they're going to have integral roles in this offense, not yep. just lip service, but you can see why portions of the fan base were like, nah, there's something's coming before the draft, like a lot of people thought.
Yeah, but they just had a lot of bodies last year, right?
Yeah.
You had Bate, you had Zay Flowers, you had OBJ, you had Nelly.
Hey, Cole's got to jump. Yeah, Cole, you got to jump, brother. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Cole. Nice to meet you, brother.
Take care, man. Nice to meet you. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you for your time.
So they had so many bodies in that room last year, and, like, you don't pay OBJ what, $15 million, and say, yeah, we're not going to try to get you involved. And even that was tough, right? Because he didn't get as many opportunities as you would anticipate a guy getting paid that much money would get. So now with OBJ not being there, and if they bring in a young rookie here during the draft, they're going to have to rely on Zay and Bate to be those guys. Mm-hmm. But my last example would be, you probably remember, like, there was someone you know that was super smart but acted like they weren't, or someone on the team who was like, yo, fam, you were, like, knocking down all the threes in the world in practice. You yeah. need to shoot these in the game.
Yep.
And they just wouldn't shoot them, or they wouldn't shoot them as frequently, you know? I think that's what the team sees from Bate. In practice, when he is available, and even in games when he's that guy, he shows that he can do it. It's just a matter of being able to stay on the field consistently enough that he can actually show that, and the fans will see it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people watch the box score.
Yes.
Oh, he only had 2 catches for 15 yards. What are we doing? It's like,
yep.
But that was that game. You know, that was that moment. Give him some time, and I think he'll be able to produce at a level as long as he can stay on the field.
Shoot, go look at the metrics through 14 weeks, that separation chart that went out. Dude was outside Tyreek Hill on that. Nobody was creating more separation. Yeah, he didn't have the yak yards to go up against Tyreek, but, like, I was right. Like, damn, like, this guy is as silky as we thought he was coming out of Minnesota with his route tree.
Correct.
So a couple folks wanted to ask you, you okay on time?
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay.
Few more minutes?
Yeah,
I would love to have you for 93.
Where are we at right now?
85? Is that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Doable? Or,
yeah,
you sure?
Doable. Yeah, it's doable.
You sure? I appreciate you.
No problem.
All right, some folks are hitting you up with super chats here. Tank Bromansky says, RG3, would you consider being on the coaching staff for the Ravens if given the chance? You're a top football IQ guru.
Listen, first of all, I appreciate that. I know you must have been checking out those Dragon Ball Z videos and the video breakdowns of the QBs.
Hey, the channel's dope, man. The channel's dope. I see what you're doing.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate that. I respect Coach Harbaugh so much, and he's the best coach that I had that I've ever played for in the NFL. So yeah, if the opportunity came up, 100%, man, I'd go be a coach under him. You know, to be a coach and to be a leader, you got to be a servant leader. So there's the leader that's leading the charge and that's establishing the identity. You have to respect that guy. And I'm big on that. I respect the hell out of Coach Harbaugh. So for sure, I'd go coach there in a heartbeat.
If I can add on to this, and you go as far as you want on this in terms of comfort zone or whatever, but what are you putting your energy to right now? I mean, you have a full-time media career right now. Like, yeah. are you even pursuing? Is that an interest of yours on the other side of football? Like,
I would put it this way. Because I am fully in the media now, I still train every day, but that's really? It's more for like – well, for health, or if like EDC called me on the eve of the Super Bowl and he needed a holder, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Hit my line, fam. I'm ready to go.
I love it.
You know, I'm having fun doing what I'm doing in the media and breaking the game down and bringing it to the fans. The good thing about this is, as a quarterback, like we can break down anybody, but when you're breaking down quarterbacks, you have to break down everybody. So what I'm doing in the media is preparing me for any opportunities that would come if it involved coaching. And I think it's just a matter of right time, right place, right situation. You make it happen. But I'm studying the game the same way when I played, putting the hours in, having to do the breakdowns of each team. It's tough because when you go on TV, you don't have time to talk about all that stuff, right?
No.
It's so fast. And really, it's entertainment while also giving knowledge. So that cuts down what you can say even more. So I'm enjoying kind of being able to do things with tape in that manner to bring it to the fans. But that also helps me with coaching and understanding what's happening in the league now. How are the coverages changing? What are offenses doing to take advantage of those coverages? It keeps me in the game. And that's why I like it, doing it the way that I'm doing. I'm not just on TV speaking and not knowing what I'm talking about, right? I study it so that I can go out there and do it. And if coach was to call me up, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I got like 15 drills I'm ready to implement right now, you know, because you pick them up along the way. So it's definitely something that is on my mind, but it's not something that I am actively pursuing. If the opportunity, comes up, I'll be ready.
I'm so glad that you went and embraced like that non-traditional side on top of the full-time career, because like, as you know, you've learned that like it's going to be the short bursts and it's going to be what's hot right now, like what's trending. Right. And like, but you have so much more to provide to all of us in terms of like the nuance. And I think that's what you're like starting to dive into from what I've seen on the side, and I think this is a good segue to another question that just came in. And that is from Truth Bearer. Which quarterback in the draft would you think would be a good fit to back up Lamar? Because at some point, I don't think it's going to happen in a few picks from now, but at some point, you're probably going to want to get a day three quarterback who can go in and compete with Josh Johnson, right? And can compete with Malik Cunningham to be the primary backup to eight.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, I think Spencer Rattler's still available, right?
As far as I know.
That would not be the guy. Not because he's not a really good quarterback. I think he'll be the QB still in the draft, honestly. I've said that on multiple occasions, but it's the name, as soon as you said that came to my mind was Jordan Travis. And the reason is Josh Johnson's been in the league for 45 years. If Jordan Travis doesn't play this year because he's just continuing to heal from his injury, you're confident that Josh Johnson can go out there and get the job done to keep you afloat. You know what I'm saying?
Serviceable. Yeah.
And that's all, I mean that with all due respect to Josh. Jordan Travis is a guy that can do all of the things that Lamar has become known for, just not at Lamar's level because Lamar's a two-time MVP. But Jordan Travis, you don't have to change the offense for him. And I think that that's I think he brings a certain maturity to the room as well, even as a guy coming straight out of college, that I would love to see him get that opportunity with an organization that does it the right way. Now, I don't know when that happens. I do believe Jordan Travis is worthy of being drafted.
Yep.
What round? That's up to the teams and the doctors. But even if it's not drafted and he comes in as a, you know, undrafted rookie free agent, I think he is worth putting in the time to allow him to heal. I think that would be a really good pickup. The quarterbacks, it's kind of wild. I see you know, you're pulling up the guys right there. You know, Devin Leary looks like Travis Kelce, so he's got that going for him.
I just saw that a minute ago, and I was like, what the frick? That's not a bad thing to have these days, RG.
It's really not. It's really not. But you got Michael Pratt, Keaton Slovis. Travis is the first one that comes to mind. And if you really want me to be like straight 100 with you guys, when I was doing the Dragon Ball Z breakdowns, the one guy that I was conflicted on whether to do a comp for or not was Joe Milton. And the reason is Joe Milton has literally everything you want from a franchise quarterback.
Okay.
Big arm, big stature, is mobile, right? The one thing that he has to continually work on is decision making. So he might be the perfect candidate to go in there and be a backup to Josh Johnson, who's backing up Lamar Jackson, because you can work on him and allow him to get used to playing in the NFL. But he would have been like, you know, Cell in Dragon Ball Z, because he's got everything, but for whatever reason, like, something's just a little off. And I think that could be coaching, because he has everything else. And if you have everything, that's how you can tell how good a coach is, if they can get that out of you. So I'd probably say Jordan Travis and then Joe Milton would be the two.
We're a few picks away here, 93 coming up. You still okay on time?
Yeah. Baby G is talking to me right now. You know, this is the baby girl that I ran off the field for at the Fiesta Bowl.
That's right.
That last year, baby? Because I keep saying 2 years ago, but it was last year.
You went viral for that. You went viral. I mean, that was hilarious.
Oh, man. They were fine. Those guys could handle it. They did a great job. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
What are you guys up to now, too? How many?
You're talking
about
kids?
How many kids?
Oh, no. We got four girls. 8, 6, 4. 8, 6, 4, and 1. Four girls.
That's right. I'm forgetting the family photos that you put up around. I think it was around the holidays. That's so good. I love that. All right. What else do we have here to cover? Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Ooh.
Derrick Henry. So Keaton's going to take a minute, right, probably to get back. I think that ACL wasn't the cleanest of tears from what I've heard. So
okay.
not sure what the timetable is there. But the Ravens have been kind of not mum, but just there hasn't been an update in terms of what his timetable's like. At some point, they're going to have both of those guys. What a variety of flavors to the backfield with the two-time MVP.
Yes.
What does Todd Monken now have at his disposal in your mind? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I was really campaigning for Derrick Henry to come to Baltimore, man. The synergy was just there. And I'm a big storytelling guy. The reason I got into this is because I wanted to tell guys stories the right way, you know, and celebrate sport and have fun doing it. The synergy between Derrick Henry and just almost being there in Tennessee, and then also with Lamar and the Ravens, just like, God dang it, we're right there. We're so close to getting over the hump. Joining forces, I feel like, can help them get over the hump. Derrick Henry is going to take a massive load off of Lamar Jackson, because teams will focus on stopping him. And if they don't focus on stopping him, now Lamar and the receivers are going to be able to eat. It's different when you have, I'm a Gus guy. Listen, Gus Edwards came in. I think I came in the same year he did. Gus Edwards, 18?
Okay. Yeah.
It was Gus 18 or 19?
Oh, gosh. Well, Sarah's here with us now, by the way. Sarah Ellison.
How's it going? I was just like, hey, I better check back in now that the birthday party's over. And it's like, oh, RG3's on our show, and I'm not even on there. What's going on? What's up, RG3?
What's up?
And you guys both have
equal.
Well, you guys both have similar households going on right now. Robert, she had like 27-year-olds for her youngest birthday. Yeah. And you got four of your own hanging around. So there's
that must have been chaos. I can only imagine.
Oh yes, you know. So this is my fourth and youngest child, and she thinks she's the queen, and she is, yeah, of course, she right is. Of the household. And it was just an absolute madhouse, and I can hear your little ones, and it's going to make me feel better if you hear her and all of her new toys over there that she's playing with.
So we've That's covered awesome. A.
Yeah, I imagine you covered all the picks, right?
We've covered a lot of things. We're talking about Derrick Henry right now. We're a couple picks away from the 93rd overall selection. So we'll see what they do here as the third round gets ready to wrap. But sorry, did you didn't lose your train of thought there on Derrick, Robert? Did you? Were you gonna?
No. What I was saying was like the synergy between them getting over the hump is so great. So you join forces and then. Where Derrick Henry shows up is in December, January, and February. That's where he will show up because you will not forget to run the football when you have Derrick Henry. You're right. You will not forget to game plan and say, we got to keep running it, right? Even if you're running into 2 yards in a cloud of dust, 7 carries in a row, you know, man, we got Derrick Henry back there. Like, we got to hand him the ball. You know, everyone's going to see this. Like, you, I don't know. You guys have probably seen him now, right? Like, in person?
Not yet.
No.
Like, when you see him in person, you will understand why they ran the ball so much in Tennessee. Okay?
He's built like an outside linebacker.
You walk by him, and you're just like, what the hell is that? Yeah. Okay? Yeah. You're not going to be able to forget that. And I've said it before, like, you know, he'll give you something to remember in December. He'll make those carries matter in January, and he'll be your sanctuary in February. That to me is what he provides for Lamar. Even if it, like, I don't care if he runs for 1,000 yards. I hope he does. I think he will, but he doesn't have to. He just has to be available in December, January, and February. And they are A-okay because the second a team says, you know what, F it, we're going to try to shut down Lamar. I mean, what are you going to do to shut down Lamar? You going to play zone? You going to play two shell and try to stop the run? All right, cool. Here comes Derrick Henry down your throat. All right, you're going to play cover one? You going to put an extra guy in the box? All right, well, now you're going to have Zay and Bate and whoever else we have out there, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. It's going to open up the offense so much more because of the respect that Derrick Henry commands from a defensive coordinator. He could be in year 74. And you look at this guy, and the D coordinator is going to be like, guys, we got to stop the run today. We got Derrick Henry back there.
He's LeBron. He's friggin' LeBron.
Exactly. It just becomes something of a narrative. Like, even when I was playing my last years there in Baltimore or in Washington or in Cleveland, if I saw a guy on the depth chart, on the scouting report, their name resonated first, right? I played against Charles Woodson when he was – really old, and he was still Charles Woodson. Okay.
Yeah,
that's how I think people will view Derrick Henry, and it's going to be to the Ravens' benefit.
So RG3, obviously Lamar doesn't need me. He doesn't need anyone telling him what to do as a two-time MVP. But if there was something that you would like to see from him in this next year coming up, what would that be?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I just want to see Lamar I'm going to say this because he did this the second half of the year up into the playoff game. I just want to see Lamar get back to playing Lamar ball. That's it. When we were in the meeting room together for those 3 years, you know, the way he learns is different. The way that he approaches the game and how he sees the game is different. James Urban was our quarterback coach, right? And he would talk to me and he's like, you know, Lamar's got a beautiful mind, right? Whenever you've heard somebody say something like that, they don't mean, hey, he learns like everybody else.
Right.
Or hey, he does things like everybody else. He doesn't. Right. So I just want to see him get back to that. And I think in the playoff game, and I mentioned this on the podcast show RG During the Ones with Calvin Johnson, that remember that first drive when he was scrambling around and he threw the touchdown to Zay in the end zone?
Oh, I remember.
And it was amazing, right? and he was just like buying time to give his guys opportunities to get open. Well, after that play, he did it for the rest of the game. He did that exact thing for the rest of the game, buy time, just trying to give his guys a chance to get open. And I just wanted to see him take off.
Yeah.
And there were moments where he could have, and he didn't. And I think a little bit of it, and I don't think he'll say this, but I think a little bit of it to me from what I saw was, I got to show these mother effers I can do it from the pocket. I got to show them that I can win with the arm.
And that's what you were picking up from his play. That was the message you were picking up.
I want to be clear. He did not tell me that. It's just what I saw. And it happens, right? If I shoot a fadeaway in the first half and it goes in on a buzzer beater, I'm shooting fadeaways the rest of the game. Okay. Yeah. I'm shooting fadeaways at the end of the third, end of the fourth, all that. And I think he had success doing it. And he was like, my guys are going to get open. And he had the Jimmys and the Joes to make it happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to say, I'm going to take what they give me. And if I step up in the pocket and they don't have anybody there, I'm going to go do what Lamar Jackson does. And I mean that in a way of like, he can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his legs. I'll never forget that spin move against Cincinnati a couple of years back. I was on the sideline and I was a dual threat. I had some crazy plays. I ran for a 76-yard touchdown in my career. Okay. And this man did a spin move between two guys and kept going, and my jaw was on the ground. And I'm like, what the was that? Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. And I enjoyed, you know, I did not enjoy being on the sideline, to be honest with you guys. But I enjoyed watching Lamar Jackson be Lamar Jackson and do what he does, throwing and running. And I just want to see him get back to that. And I think he did, like, for half the year last year when they got on a roll, and that's why he won MVP. Just keep doing that. And when you get to the playoffs, EDC and Coach Harbaugh are going to put the guys around him that they will make plays, but they need him to make the plays and make the plays that only Lamar Jackson can make.
Hey, the Ravens are on the clock, so I want to just be sure to watch this any second now that this pick is going to be in. But I'm really curious, how would you illustrate what you think James Urban meant, or even by your own definition, having worked with him in the film room, as what qualifies as a beautiful mind?
Yeah, it's you know, the read is supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Versus this coverage, you're going to skip 1, go to 2, 3, 4. Versus this coverage, you're going to go 3, 4, 5, because 1 and 2 are probably dead on one side of the field. And Lamar just reads 5, 5, 3, 1, and 2, 3, 1, and whatever it may be, but he reads it that way because it's how he sees the game, right? They took Jalen McMillan. Oh, that's the Bucks, though. That's the Bucks. I said that's a great pick for the Ravens, but but Lamar reads it in a way of it's not that he reads it wrong. I don't want anyone to misinterpret that. Listen, sometimes
he sees things other people don't see.
That's what it is. Like, yeah. And you hear coaches said it, like Harbaugh, he said it when I was there. He said it since I've been gone. He's like, man, I don't even know how he saw that. Like, he just has a great instinctive feel versus certain coverages versus the guy that's running the route. Like, the connection, I've said this a many a times, and it was unfortunate that I never got to start a game with this guy. Mark Andrews, because every time I started, Mark Andrews, something was going on. They either pulled him out or he got COVID. I'm like, God dang it, man. I need you out there. I'm trying to do something here, Mark. Come on.
Straight up.
They call him Lamar's security blanket, but he'd be a security blanket for any quarterback.
Security blanket. He just left me out in the cold. All right. But I would watch these two guys, whether it was practice or the games, and I know you guys saw it too. They find each other. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the love of your life, like my wife's the love of my life. And if I'm looking in the crowd, I'm just going to find her. I'm going to make eye contact. These two on the football field are like a married couple. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Mark will run the wrong route. He'll go, he's supposed to run a damn line route. He'll run a line shake snail and bring it back down, and Lamar will find him. I'm like, what are you doing? And then, you know, the one play, this is years ago when Lamar was scrambling out and Mark Andrews like threw his hands up, you know, in the end zone, like, I'm open. And Lamar's like, yeah, I can't throw it to you. Like,
yeah.
Like they were right next to each other. It's the craziest thing I've ever
it's
seen.
It's like how a couple would bicker a little bit, but they figure each other out. Yeah.
They figure each other out. So yeah. Like Lamar's got such a special gift about him. I want to, like you said, I want to see him do everything that he's doing, and he's going to have the guys out there to make it work. And Mark Andrews is certainly a beast of an athlete. And I think Isaiah Likely's really come on as well.
So we are really just seconds away, Robert. So appreciate your time for joining us tonight. They just went to commercial break.
Okay,
so everybody
on
Twitter.
Commercial, I wanted to get one more clarification because you asked him to expand on the beautiful mind. Yeah. Just to be clear on what you mean by Lamar ball, okay? Because
yes,
you said I want to see him play Lamar ball because you can everybody tells him when he first comes in because under Roman he ran so much. It's like, be careful, be careful, be careful. Even though he had a way of not taking the hard hits.
Correct.
But even before that, though, you're right. It feels like he wanted to prove he could do it more with his arm. We prove that. Okay. So when you say Lamar ball, it's basically like, take what the defense gives you. Don't try to prove anything else. Is
correct.
That Lamar ball? Just take what the defense gives?
That is Lamar ball.
Okay.
Right? Lamar, when I was there, I can't remember what year this was, but we would drop back to pass. This is the Seattle game, I think, when we beat Seattle in Seattle a couple years back.
2019,
by,
his MVP
Yeah, by
season.
A couple years, I mean more than a couple years. You know what I'm saying? It's all jumbled together now, guys, all right? but I remember that game, and they would get us in, like, third and long. Because you ran the ball, got stuffed on first down, second down. We throw a little screen, boom, they stuff it. Now it's third and 10. And Lamar would drop back. He'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he would scramble for 18 yards. And I'm like, there you go. That was the play. That's exactly what we needed. And when you take what the defense gives you and you have nothing to quote unquote prove, then he's playing Lamar ball. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say, hey, I need you to run. It's, we need you to run when the opportunity presents itself. There's not a quicker quarterback in the NFL. Notice I didn't say faster. He'll probably get mad about that. But there's not a quicker quarterback in the NFL than Lamar. He's the quickest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He can get to 0 and 100 like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it presents itself, just go. And it's he does such a great job of it. That's why I'm saying I want to see him do it all the time. Because when he won the MVP in 19, he did it all the time. He would throw for 400 and come back and run for 150. And you're like, I don't know what to do. How do you stop this guy? Well, midway through the year, he did that to win MVP again. And then he kind of stopped it in that playoff game for whatever reason. So I just want to see him take what the defense gives him. And when it's time to go, you go. And I've also noticed that he slimmed down this offseason.
I was going
to
ask you, do you have an opinion on that?
Can we get the pick real quick, though, first? Can you hold that thought for me?
Yeah,
So the pick is in. The draft room is up on the screen right now. Ozzy's at the head of the table, of course. Eric to his right. Steve to his left. Harbs is standing up off to the left. And they are going back to the Penn State well, guys. Edge rusher Adisa Isaac. He slid down to the third. He's definitely got some juice off the edge. And they go back to the Penn State well. Haloti Ngata with his kids is coming out onto the stage out there in Detroit, and they're going for the first time since what? Adafe Owe a couple years ago, right? They go with Adisa Isaac. Yeah. Have you called any of his games, Robert?
I have not because the Penn State is in the Big Ten, and we don't have that at ESPN.
You're ACC. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not – I mean, I'm everything. ESPN puts us on every single conference. But I know, like, we were talking and we were thinking, like, hey, this pick was probably going to be a wide receiver potentially.
Yeah.
But I think – EDC wanted the flexibility to not reach on a wideout or go get the same wideouts that they already, that they already have. That's why you extend bait. So if people didn't understand it from a production standpoint, it's more of a, hey, this guy's super talented. He's shown us that he can do it. He's just got to do it all the time. We don't want to reach for a receiver just to say we went and got another receiver. And you can never have too many pass rushers, man. Especially with the guys that you have to beat, you know, to even get to the Super Bowl, you gotta beat Patrick Mahomes. You probably got to beat Josh Allen. You got Joe Burrow in your own division, and the damn Browns are over there building the super team. Okay, So you gotta have a guy that's gonna get Deshaun Watson off his spot as well. So super explosive pass rusher. I know you could probably say that about every single guy, but when you go to Penn State and you play in the shadow of guys like Micah Parsons, there's a certain expectation for those pass rushers. And he has all of that skill set. So I'm excited to see how they utilize him, because we all know the Ravens like to utilize pass rushers in very unique ways.
Yes,
especially
they
with
do.
Chuck Smith studies. Hanging around.
What's that?
Especially with Chuck Smith hanging around, kind of revitalizing their outside linebackers room.
Yep.
So a slight difference, because you talked about how last time Ravens went into Penn State well for an edge rusher, Odafe was more of like a projection of being able to get a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
This Isaac has 7.5 sacks.
Yeah.
You know, that's not nothing. And 16 tackles for loss. So he's coming in with some production.
Yeah, when you watch his tape, when you watch his film and you look at the numbers, I always tell people stats are like bikinis, right? They show you a lot, but they don't show you everything. So if you remember, the pass rusher out of Philly had kind of got accused of chasing sacks.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when they say, I'm not saying it's true or not. I don't believe that. I don't really. That's not in my wheelhouse of using anonymous sources to put out stuff like that. But when you watch the tape of Adisa Isaac, the sack numbers and the tackles for loss match what you see on tape, and he's not a bad run defender.
Mm.
Right. A lot of times with these pass rushers, you see them and they're like, oh, it's a run play. Cool. I'll see you in a couple downs. Right. Yeah. I'll be out there on third down. Well, he's not really that way. He's not wired that way. But with some of the outside rushers the Ravens do have, you're not really asking this guy to come in day one and be Terrell Suggs.
Right.
So if he had 7.5 sacks last year and he had 16 tackles for loss, that means he's not only getting off the ball, but he's disruptive. He can play spot duty and be a disruptive pass rusher in packages until he's ready to take over. And who knows, that might be in a year or two. It might be week 7. But it's just another smart pick by one of the best, if not the best, front office in all of football. So now Washington's coming. They're coming now.
They had a massive draft, man. They're having a massive draft.
Monster draft, but right now, it's probably somewhere between the Ravens and the Chiefs for the best front office in football.
Love it. Love it.
So
I really don't know him very well. Do you know if he can he drop back at all? Can he play Sam at all? Because I'm just thinking with Bowser gone, it's really Kyle Van Noy. And you know, he's only around for, I think, a 1-year contract they got him on. Do you know, does Isaac drop back at all?
Yes, he does drop back. But, Kyle's going to hate this. Sorry, Kyle. Kyle needs to drop back. Great.
Okay.
Kyle needs to drop back. Let this guy rush the passer. But Kyle can still get, obviously, yeah, I think he had a career. He had a career high in sacks last year.
Yeah, he did.
Right. So
I think
so
he was 9.5.
He's probably listening to this and is like, what are you doing to me, RG? Come on, man. But if I was to ask a guy in his first year in the NFL, hey, can you drop back into coverage? I promise you they're going to have this man dropping back more than he's ever dropped back in his life in practice. But if he's a sack specialist and we got him in the third round and we got guys that have experience dropping into coverage and matching, because we like to bring all of these blitzes and what's that frame, that term for simulated blitzes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I almost slipped out, right? But they bring those simulated blitzes, they're gonna have to drop guys. I'm not dropping the rookie.
Okay.
I'm telling the rookie, hey, see ball, get ball. Hey, Kyle. I'll let you rush the next 3 times, buddy. But this one right here, you dropping in the coverage, homie.
Hey, but before that pick came in, you were talking about something, and I've been multitasking
Lamar's weight.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Zara was asking about Lamar's weight. I did notice it. I know everyone else noticed it as well. And I also noticed last year when he came in a little, you know?
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that neck.
He also brought in that day that he brought in the popcorn and, like, I don't know what he had. Maybe it was a smoothie, but that was a picture.
Well, the wind got him badly on that.
We were all just noticing things. You know what I'm saying? We was noticing the notice.
I just minding my own business, okay? And I noticed.
And that's what I do, too. I don't comment on it. I just go about my business, and I notice the noticeables. And I think when you see a guy slim down, it's not to say that he wasn't on a mission last year, but he's really on a mission this year. And putting in that work, one of the things that we always said was, like, when Lamar becomes a pro's pro and does everything the right way, man, like, he still hasn't even touched the ceiling of what he can become. So I see that, and I'm like, he's putting in work, man. He's putting in the work. Maybe last year, I know that I thought he came in a little heavier last year, but maybe it was because he wanted to be healthy, you know what I'm saying, be able to take those hits. And this year, maybe he's slimmed down a little bit because he's like, I don't need to take those hits because I'm Lamar Jackson and I'm the most elusive quarterback in the world, in the galaxy, you know what I'm saying? At least the Milky Way, that's all I know about. But he's the craziest, you know, most gifted quarterback I've ever seen, and I've maintained that. My colleagues at ESPN are like, oh my gosh, it's Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, listen, I love Patrick. I know Patrick Mahomes' trainer. They're great. They're phenomenal. Lamar Jackson is way more talented. It's just about him being able to get to that level and win multiple Super Bowls to prove it. So I see him, you know, slim down. I'm like, all right, you know, he's focused, ready to go. And whatever his mission is this year, it involved him slimming down because he doesn't do anything on accident. I'll tell you that right now. He doesn't do anything on accident. So that's why I didn't say anything last year about when he came in a little heavier, because I felt like he did it for a reason. And who am I to question that reason? But I have noticed that he has, you know, he's gone on a Zempic or something. I don't know.
RG, the live chat just came in. I know Sarah and I both echo this sentiment. RG is one of the most knowledgeable guests you've had on to date. So
obviously
this was spontaneous. This was super gracious and generous of you, especially when you're hanging out with your family. And I'm sure you got a ton of content planning to do throughout the rest of the weekend. But
Bobby, can I get in one personal question to him? If you have it at the time, RG3, you mentioned the love of your life. This is totally not about football. Do you have advice for successful relationship? Because it is, for me, heartwarming and inspiring to watch how you two share your love with everybody on social media. What would be your piece of advice for a successful relationship?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to just give one piece of advice, I would say it's multiple pieces of advice, okay? Number one is communication.
Okay.
Everybody waits till a fight happens, and then, oh, now it's time to communicate. No. If something's bothering you, have a conversation about it first, set the expectations, and then you and your partner are able to hold you accountable when you step outside of those expectations. You know what I'm saying? It could be the littlest thing. Hey, I'm going to put my clothes in the hamper every time I take them off, baby. I got you. Okay.
Now, you were laughing, but that's important.
Now, when wifey checks me and I don't put it in the hamper, I know, listen, this is the deal. I agreed to this. I got to hold myself accountable just like she is. And I'm going to do it. It's not going to be, oh, come on, it's a couple feet from it. Can't you get it? Oh, blah, blah. Right? So that communication lets you be held accountable. And then anyone that has kids, this is what I would say. Make sure that you and your wife come first.
Yeah.
And people will be like, oh, my God, what do you mean? That's terrible. No, listen. Your kids will benefit from seeing you and your wife have that relationship. Mm. They'll benefit from seeing what real love is. Because you guys are the ones in 18, 20, 24 years, some people never, but when the kids are no longer in the house, you guys got to live together.
Yep.
And I don't think you should ever look at it as, man, I got to live with her. I got to live with him. Look at it as, I get to live with her.
Yeah.
And if you build that relationship and make sure you guys stay first, your kids will benefit and they'll feel that love. They may never know, hey, mommy comes first, but they will feel that mommy and daddy are in this together. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. So that's my two pieces of advice. We're not perfect, but we share our love because we don't care if people don't like that. The one thing I've seen on Twitter is, man, one thing RG gonna let you know is that he loves his wife. It's like, good. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish, because I do love my wife. I love my family. And I don't ever want to not show that side of me because it's a huge part of who I am.
No, well, we can see you're happy because of it. Good for you, man. Thank you for sharing that.
And hey, unapologetically too, right? And I'll leave everybody with this. Sarah's final year at the Ravens was actually Lamar's rookie year. And that's when she moved to Columbus with her family. And then I came in as a first year like broadcaster in 2019, which is where you and I got to know each other in the locker room. Now it wasn't a ton, but I remember one of the things I really remember that year, Robert, was I could see it on your face, right? Like you said earlier on, the Cincinnati game's happening. You're watching this incredible talent burst onto the scene en route to an MVP season. But like in your heart of hearts, you know that you're still good enough to be out somewhere in the league as QB1 and you're waiting for that opportunity. And I just really appreciated how real you were. You gave me a chance to catch up with you in the locker room. We had great conversations. I was trying to get my feet from underneath me. But I remember making that observation, and I would have to think that was probably one of the most challenging extended periods of your football career. Yep. But you just handle it with a lot of class, and I'll never forget that. Always going to be a huge fan of yours moving forward, depending on no matter what you end up doing, whether it's in media, whether it's into the coaching side of things like we kind of were talking about earlier on. And we're both Roberts. I go by Bobby, but we're both Roberts. So I always look at us like this, my man. So I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate that. And what I'll say to your point of like, was it difficult? It's always difficult when you're in a position and you're an alpha. And you have to be something else for the betterment of the team. And I ran into that in Washington and had to do that. In 2015, we won the division. Kirk Cousins was the quarterback. Yeah. I didn't play a snap. I used to run routes for Kirk Cousins after practice because it was my job. My job was to help him be the best he could be to help us win. And I ran routes for Lamar when I got down there. James Urban almost tried to put me at receiver because I was doing so well, but that's a different story. It's a different story. Okay, it's a different story. But I felt like I needed to be the best version of me for Lamar was the one that was going to be there for him, like no one was there for me early in my career. So it all came full circle, and I'm honored to have had that opportunity. I actually did a video on it talking about how that was one of my greatest NFL accomplishments was being able to be there for Lamar. Mm-hmm. I didn't throw a pass. I didn't run a touchdown. I did not win MVP. He did it. He did it all by himself, and I was just happy to be a part of it.
Love that. Love it. I love it. And seriously, like the generosity that you showed tonight to do this spontaneously when you're hanging with the fam did not go unnoticed. I know our live audience, we've got 3,000 concurrents right now, that they love you. We appreciate you, and give your family our best.
No, I appreciate you guys, and we'll talk soon. This won't be the last time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Robert Griffin III, appreciate your time as always.